I'm opening this meeting of the House Committee on Revenue. Thursday, May 23rd. We have six things on our agenda, but I'm going to start the meeting by announcing that the work session on House Bill 2449, the tax for emergency communications, we're holding that over. We will not do that this morning. And House Bill 2978, tax credit for shortline railroad rehabilitation projects, that also will be held over. We will not be doing that one this morning. And there they go.
Is it something we said?
I thought they cared.
I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 3084. And my hope is to have this public hearing concluded by 8:25. I know there's a presentation, but there are also five people signed up to speak, and I hope to be concluded with the entire public hearing by 8:25.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. This bill deals with the covering of disposal sites and landfills, and so it would prohibit the taxes on use of suitable material other than virgin material for daily cover at a disposal site.
Good, thank you. I'm not sure what order to call you up in. I know there's a presentation. The presentation is from... So the first panel will be Terrell Garrett, Bo Ellis, Dave Honeycutt.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, Dave Honeycutt, Oregon Property Owners Association, here in support of House Bill 3084. And I want to thank you, Madam Chair, for scheduling this bill for a hearing. I was thinking about it on my way down today. In the 22 years that I've been lurking in the halls of the Capitol, I think this is the first time I've been in the House Revenue Committee. So it's not normal for a land use guy to be in the House Revenue Committee, but here I am. And we're here on what I believe is an important bill, a small bill, but an important bill related to alternative daily cover. Alternative daily cover is used as a substitute for clean dirt. The EPA requires landfills to place 6 inches of material on top of the landfill material every evening or every day. And there are really two types of material that you can use. You can either use alternative daily cover or you can use clean dirt. Daily cover is a substitute, and we think is a preferable substitute for clean dirt, and the legislature has recognized that for quite some time. This bill relates to the taxation of cover. It had an initial referral to the Natural Resources Committee, where it was passed forward with a due pass recommendation and then sent, and then subsequently referred to your committee. And so we're here now. Instead of talking about the cover portion, we're now here talking about the tax portion, which is obviously the primary point of this bill. I am going to turn it over to Terrell Garrett. Mr. Garrett is in the business of generating alternative daily cover, and he's got a PowerPoint and can walk you through essentially what we're talking about and what the bill does. So, thank you again, Chair, for scheduling this bill, and we hope that you'll consider it and move it along at some point with a due pass recommendation to the floor.
Chair Nathanson, Representative Finley, and Representative Reske, my name is Terrell Garrett. Good morning. My wife, Chris, and I own Greenway Recycling in Northwest Portland. It's a material recovery facility. In its most simple form, knock down a house, knock down a building, get a drop box to clean up your backyard or garage, knock down the Jansen Beach Mall. We're the people that recycle it. If it doesn't have food and it doesn't have hazardous waste, that's our job. House Bill 3084 is a bill about recycling. The intent is to codify and make statewide the current policy of Oregon to incentivize a certain type of recycling alternative daily cover. The state of the state of Oregon does not charge tax on solid waste nor any type any recycled commodity. Therefore, this bill is revenue neutral. There's been some concern about with Metro. Metro has charter limitations on the amount of excise tax revenue it may gain. They're pretty much at those limitations. Therefore, again, taxing an additional commodity is revenue neutral. Next, Metro has been against this bill on the basis of preemption. I feel the bill should stand on its merits. And a policy, a blanket policy of opposing preemption by the state, regardless of the quality or content of the underlying bill, is just bad government. And it's a bad policy and should be ignored. Finally, the subject is alternative daily cover. What is it? Well, the trucks come in every day and they dump all this garbage, and then a big steel-wheeled dozer runs back and forth all over the garbage compacting it. At the end of the day, EPA says you have to put 6 inches of earth and material on top in order to prevent vectors, fire, and blowing of the garbage. The thing is, to take virgin soil and throw it away in a landfill is kind of bad policy, and therefore they allow for alternative materials. In Oregon, DEQ stands in place of EPA. And if you want to get an alternative daily cover material approved, you must undergo a one-year-long testing process with subsequent tests later to make sure that it is still appropriate for the use and that it's used in the right quantities. This is all regulated as a statewide concern by DEQ. This bill is about recycling. The Oregon statute definition of recycling is any process by which solid waste materials are transformed into new products in a manner that the original products may lose their identity. If you look at the picture on the left, I took that yesterday, that's construction debris that's about to go through our recycling process down our sorting line. In that sorting line is a screen that removes the 1-inch minus material that is approved by DEQ for use at Findlay and Wasco County landfills in here in Oregon. And that's an example. That's what the what's our alternative daily cover looks like. Now, Oregon used to be the nation leader in construction demolition type recycling. We are not anymore. Recon in Austin and Zanker in San Jose are the nation's leader. They have the newest, best, greatest technology. If you look at the metro region, you see recovery recycle rates between 55 and 0%. We're behind the curve, and we need to reinvest in this technology. It's very expensive. And one of the largest products, one of the significant products produced out of these systems is alternative daily cover. If you tax alternative daily cover, you will increase operating costs by roughly 19%, thus most likely making these investments invalid. There are two companies in the Portland area considering this technology. Mine is one of them. If you look at the handout, there are some pictures. How is the construction demolition sorted? This is a sorting belt. Basically, you throw everything mishmash down the line, and they dig through it, and they try to pull out the good stuff. Half the facilities in Portland just stoop and pick. They bend over, pick it off the ground, and throw it in a pile. That is not the future. The future is computerized. It consists of a series of screens, air separation, water separation, and even in the most extreme cases, robots to do the work. Robots work 24 hours a day. You're still always going to have to employ people, but you're going to employ a higher paid level of person to do this work. So in this handout following are just some pictures of kind of the mishmash of stuff that comes in to be sorted. There's a screen doing a pre-classification of material, and it shows a smaller material that undergoes one more step before becoming ADC. You can see where this mishmash is now something that's very homogeneous and easy to recover. And so, and finally, there's just a nice picture over Hell's Canyon, 4:45 the other morning, 15 miles into the wilderness I took. It didn't turn out very well here, but it was beautiful. We ask that you move this bill forward so that we can have the comfort and surety necessary to make these investments. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
We have 10 minutes and there are three other people to testify.
Madam Chair, we had Mr. Ellis up here. Mr. Ellis is counsel for Mr. Garrett. He was here to answer any questions if you had any.
Thank you. Do you have questions?
No.
I have two. Do you work with Bulk Handling Systems in Eugene?
That's one of the vendors that we're considering for portions of the equipment.
Mm-hmm. And the second question is, you mentioned...
May I add to that?
Yes.
We have a company policy. We buy local whenever possible. Mm-hmm. We buy screens from Ashen Equipment in Newburgh. We deal with West Salem Machinery. You know, these people through business have become friends. And
that's great to hear. I'm not familiar with...
Here's the thing. When you make friends, you get service.
Thank you. I'm not familiar with the other firms. I just, I'm always pleased when I hear that Oregon business can do business with other Oregon businesses.
The company policy.
Great. My second question is, you mentioned how much your cost would increase if an additional tax or fee was added. How would you know the cost if there isn't, if you don't know how much the fee would be yet?
Metro's tax. Metro currently charges a regional system fee and excise tax on solid waste entering the landfill as garbage. And there is an exemption for this material. It has been considered numerous times in the last 10 years, and we believe that it is going to be considered later this year that Metro is interested in taxing it because they believe this material is garbage.
Okay.
We differ. We think that it's a good thing that it replaces the ruination of virgin soil.
Okay. So, Mr. Ellis, you don't have additional comments?
I don't have any additional testimony. Okay. I think my client summed up the bill and the purpose and the intent here very well. I was here to answer any questions that were outside that scope.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you very much.
Next, I'd like to hear from Jody Snyder.
Your time is limited, and I can be very quick. Representative Nathanson, thank you, Chairman, and the committee. I really appreciate your time this morning to discuss House Bill 3084 relating to alternative daily cover. My name is Jody Snyder. I'm the Senior Manager of Governmental Affairs for Waste Connections. Waste Connections has previously submitted comments via email to your committee. Waste Connections provides solid waste collection, transfer, recycling, and disposal throughout Oregon. The philosophy of Waste Connections is that solid waste services business is a local business managed by professionals living and working in communities here in Oregon. And we serve communities such as yours. We strive to provide service excellence for those communities that place their trust in our company, and we're always dedicated to putting our customers first. Waste Connections owns and operates two of the landfills that were discussed this morning, Findlay Buttes and Wasco County Landfill. Within our industry, there are enormous efforts being made towards utilizing alternative technologies to reduce landfill disposal. Utilizing ADC is one of the ways that we preserve landfill space, reduce reliance on virgin materials, and also reduce overall customer cost. So it's a win-win-win. I'm not going to go into the things that were already discussed in regards to why we use ADC and the mount at the daily cover. That was already well discussed. An additional tax would put an unnecessary burden on our customers, likely eliminating the incentive for them to produce ADC. Additionally, with less ADC, it would require us to mine virgin soils and increase our operating expenses. Waste Connections encourages you to vote aye on House Bill 3084 and prohibit this tax. thank you very much for your time, and I appreciate you taking the time this morning to listen to us.
Thank you for being here. Any questions? All right. And next, we will hear from Randy Tucker.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Randy Tucker. I'm Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. I've asked my colleague Roy Brower, who is the director of our Property and Environmental Services Department, which runs our whole solid waste operation, to join me in case you have any questions. I'll do the testimony, and if you have questions, he knows a lot more than I do. As you know, Metro is the regional government of the Portland metropolitan area. We have major responsibilities for managing the region's solid waste and providing opportunities for recycling and waste reduction for the residents of our region. We serve a population of more than 1.5 million people. We provide services and educational resources that protect the environment and reduce the amount and the toxicity of the waste stream. Metro urges you not to move House Bill 3084 forward for several reasons. First, it's being presented to you as being entirely about Metro and its supposed plans to tax certain waste, but the fundamental rationale for this bill is entirely without foundation. Metro does not impose and has no plans to impose fees or taxes on materials that are used as approved alternative daily cover, and the Metro Council most recently decided this question just last year after an extensive process that involved a stakeholder committee on which Mr. Garrett, who just testified, was a member. And consultant reports and the like, and I've posted those to OLS this morning. So you can see that the question is complex, but that the decision was made. So second, there's much more complexity to the issue of alternative daily cover than you've heard this morning. There's a letter in OLS from the Department of Environmental Quality that makes it clear that the state does not view alternative daily cover as recycling or recovery, but as disposal. The definition of recycling that Mr. Garrett shared with you speaks of creating a product, but a product is something that is sold, and that's not the case with alternative daily cover. The DEQ letter also notes that there's a glut of waste materials in line to be approved as alternative daily cover, with a large amount coming from other states. There's no need to create any additional incentive for the creation or use or importation of this material. I'd also like to note that the slide on recovery rates was also misleading. It had Metro's facilities very low. That's because most of the recycling doesn't come to Metro's facilities. It's picked up at the curbs and goes elsewhere, and also because Metro has to take everything that comes in the door from thousands of self-haul customers as opposed to sort of cherry-picking the products that we receive. Third, the Metro Council, like most local governments, strongly opposes preemption of local authority, especially in areas that are squarely within our area of responsibility and expertise. The apparent intent of the advocates of this bill is to preempt any government entity, as Mr. Garrett testified, including Metro. It seems especially inappropriate to enact a statewide preemption at the request of a business owner who has never been charged that tax and who has no reasonable expectation of ever being charged that tax. So in conclusion, this bill purports to address a problem that simply does not exist, and we would urge you not to move it forward.
Thank you for your testimony. Questions? Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Is there any information that you feel like you need to add to this discussion before we close the public hearing?
I just actually have one question.
Yes.
In the statute that's seeking to be amended, it says prohibiting fee or tax. I was wondering what kind of tax was contemplated. Sales tax, which, you know,
excise
tax, property taxes, that was my question. We can follow that offline.
We will follow up on that. Thank you. Anything else? I am closing the public hearing on House Bill 3084.
Thank you.
Good morning. And to facilitate the scheduling needs of the members, I am now moving to a couple of work sessions. I'd like to open a work session on Senate Bill 215A.
This one was carried over, and that one was George Gill.
Morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 215 is the regular revisers bill. It actually comes from Legislative Council. It's purely technical corrections. There aren't any policy decisions in that. And as a consequence, both the fiscal and revenue are no impacts.
Okay. Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, I move SB 215A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Marsh moves Senate Bill 215A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Motion passes. Any other business on this before I assign a carrier?
No, but I think I might be getting it to carry this bill.
Don't make eye contact with the chair.
For now, we'll assign me as the carrier. There's no other business on this bill. I'm closing the work session on Senate Bill 215A, opening a work session on House Bill 3357.
Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3357. We do have the we have light paperwork, both fiscal and revenue impact light. The underlying bill is making modifications to the working family household and dependent care expenses income tax credit. And again, this is just to facilitate its movement to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Okay.
Chair Nathanson, I move House Bill 3357. To the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures.
Thank you. Vice Chair Marsh moves House Bill 3357 to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Expenditures. Discussion. Yes, Representative Reschke.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be a yes just to move the bill, but I'd like to see what the impacts are going to be financially.
Very good. Representative Smith Warner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be a no on moving this bill. While I support the intent and the premise, I believe that in the extremely limited budget that we have in our tax credit joint committee, I figure I'll start now expressing my opinion about the kind of prioritization of what goes before that committee.
Thank you. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I want to make sure we're on House Bill 2978.
No,
3357.
Okay, thank you.
That's fine. 3357. Yeah. Any other discussion? Objections? We have one. Motion passes.
Get through the bill. She volunteered to carry that last.
She did. There's no other business on that one. I'm closing the work session on House Bill 3357. And for those of you who weren't here when we opened the meeting, the work sessions for 2449 and 2978 are being carried over. I'm opening a public hearing on House Bill 3067.
Cool, that's fine. We'll just
3067.
Tim
Good morning, Chair Nathanson, members of the committee. House Bill 3067 is probably the first marijuana bill that we hear this session, and what it tries to fix is the process by which the payments for the cities and counties, as you know, the marijuana revenue is divided into 40% to state schools, 15 state police, 10 mental health, and 5 to the health authority with 10% each, then to counties and cities. In 2017 session, the formula was fixed to allow for the cities to receive and the counties to receive the revenue who have not opted out of the marijuana legalization licenses and so on. However, there some of the processes that were put in place requires local governments to certify quarterly that they are not in that predicament or that situation, which is opting out. So they have to do that quarterly in order to get the distribution of the revenue. This bill tries to make that certification on an annual basis rather than on a quarterly basis. And then you have a dash one amendment that tries to further allow for these distributions if are sent in error by the Department of Revenue to a locality or a local government that does not allow for marijuana in its jurisdictions, the process of refunding the money and getting or clawing back the money from the local government back to the Department of Revenue to be further sent back to the rest of the local governments or jurisdictions that allow the marijuana distribution.
Thank you. We have two people signed up to testify. Wendy Johnson, Rob Bovet. So every 3 months someone sends a letter and says, I'm still not.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, my name is Wendy Johnson here on behalf of the League of Oregon Cities. We thank Representative Marsh for sponsoring this bill for us. The League has an interim committee that meets every year on finance and taxation, and this was one of their requests. It's a pretty simple bill, as Mr. Malik explained, it's just changing quarterly certifications to annual, but this causes great stress to our cities and counties because they literally get an email every quarter, and they have a two-week window to respond, and it's a Survey Monkey email, and it often goes to their spam folder. And some of our communities don't have staff or part-time staff, or they're on vacation, and if they miss the window, you literally don't get your payment because you have 2 weeks to respond, and then DAS sends out the check. And so, you know, finance directors change, and it's great stress. And the amount of times that a community actually changes their eligibility is very rare. Most of these communities have decided we're going to allow or we're not. And so it's annoying for them to have to file another certification every couple of months of, no, we still ban or we still allow. So what they are very used to is every year they have to file a certification with DAS to get their liquor, cigarette, and gas tax shared revenues. And so what this bill does is says you file your marijuana certificate with the other three, so it's one piece of paper. And so this is an efficiency bill for DAS and OLCC and our cities and counties to just put it all on the same form. The line numbers is, it's on page 2, lines 32 through 38. It's saying that the certification shall be made with the other ones, the 221-770, which is the other shared revenue. So this will make their life a lot better. They have to all get that done at the end of July, so they're in the middle of that right now. To get your certification, you have to file your budget paperwork, and then you can apply for the state shared revenue. So it's all part of our fiscal year requirements. So this will make it much smoother. And as the League, we are charged with helping notify our cities and remind them you need to get your paperwork in or you're not going to get your money for your roads and your liquor money, and now it would be and your marijuana money. As Mazin said, the dash one amendments are all about what if it's not the normal process, and it could go either way. A city decides to ban mid-year and they've certified at the beginning that they didn't, then they need to let the DAS know that they've changed and they need to file a new certificate. And if they don't, the bill provides the procedure to get that money back, and we work with the Department of Revenue. And the opposite is true. If a city presently bans and midway year through they decide they're going to allow, they can start getting payments as long as they get their updated certificate to DAS and have 30 days before the next payment goes out, they would be eligible for that next payment. But you don't get payment for the, it's always a quarter behind anyway, so there is some lag time so you can get it in. So this was the compromise of you only have to do it once a year, but it's on you if you mess it up and don't let the parties know. So we think it's a great bill and will help make it more efficient for everyone, and we ask for a work session to move it out. Thank you.
Chair Nathanson, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Ovette, Legal Counsel, Association of Oregon Counties, ditto. A good bill should pass. And just as an aside, to let you know, we have had a number of cities and counties that were opt-out counties and cities opt-in, but thus far we've never seen anybody go the other direction. So appreciate all of the great language in the dash ones, but I'm guessing we're never going to have to use it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you both for being here. This does sound like an extremely reasonable, helpful thing. My only question, I am the victim of a good explanation. My only question is, so if this simplifies it and allows them to certify, yes, I qualify for marijuana money because I still allow it, does this somehow get rid of the requirement to continue to say, no, I don't? Or on that form they do otherwise for the other revenue, they will just check no on the marijuana one. I guess I'm trying to figure out if, does this also kind of take away, you keep saying, no, I don't, no, we don't allow it, so no, we aren't getting it. Is this taking that away or not necessarily?
Chair Nathanson, Representative Smith-Warner, DAS will put together the forms, but right now you have to fill it out either way. The default is if you don't certify that you allow, you don't get any money. So I assume that same default would continue.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
My only other observation is I hope DAS is thinking about DAS, Department of Revenue, and any other agency that's communicating with the public via email. I hope they are taking into consideration what are the liabilities or responsibilities of communicating with people when you can't be sure that someone got the communication, and what are the consequences to the person who truly didn't get it? That's for another day. Anything else on this bill? I'm closing the public hearing on House Bill 3067. There's no other business before us today. We are adjourned. So.